Welcome to the Sensory Project Show with Rachel and Jessica. We're here to share all things sensory, occupational therapy, parenting, self-care, and overall health and wellness from a therapist's perspective, providing raw, honest, fun ideas and strategies for parents and families to implement into daily life. Thank you so much for joining us. A special thank you to Advanced Brain Technologies for joining us on this podcast adventure. We are so excited to announce that we've teamed up with Advanced Brain Technologies to bring you a special offer on all their programs. You've heard us talk about the listening program before, and we absolutely love the benefits we've seen. From the listening program to Brain Builder to Sleep Genius, ABT scientifically designed programs will make a difference in your lives.
Jessica and I are both certified providers, so we can help you and your family find a program specialized just for you. To learn more or to get started, head to our website, thesensoryproject.com, or call ABT at 888-228-1798 and tell them you heard about this amazing offer through the Sensory Project podcast. We couldn't be more excited to share this wonderful company with all of you. Hey guys, welcome back to another fantastic, exciting, wonderful episode of the Sensory Project Show.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
This is another highly requested podcast topic, by the way.
And this is also something that we do and give to families on a regular basis.
Yes. Sensory diets.
Yes. And yay, we're not talking about food. Should we just throw that out there real fast? We're not talking about food today.
This is the diet for your sensory needs.
Yes. So, first of all, do you ever chew gum or maybe fidget with a pen or your jewelry while you're sitting down at work or while you're in a meeting, while you're driving?
Or do you take a walk to stay awake during the afternoon lull?
I do all of those things. I am playing with my ring right now.
Me too.
And so is Rachel. All right. So when you do these types of things, you're actually giving your body sensory input to remain focused and attentive.
Mm-hmm. This comes natural to us, to most of us.
To do these things.
And to naturally regulate our sensory system to keep our body at the most optimal level of arousal.
Without even really thinking about it. Like when you do these things, you're not even like, oh, I'm doing this because you just do it naturally, automatically.
Exactly.
And most children do as well. They learn what their body needs and how to do it, and they do it in an appropriate way.
Yep. So for kids with sensory processing challenges, these needs are even more intense. So without exposure to the input they need, they can often struggle with demonstrating the appropriate behavior or the appropriate emotional response, remaining alert and attentive, or keeping themselves just organized and in control throughout the day.
Yeah, so all the things, basically to just be happy and be able to go through their day successfully.
Mm-hmm. So one thing that we want to clear up and put out there. The difference between sensory processing challenges and a kiddo who might be diagnosed with sensory processing disorder,
SPD,
is that a person with just sensory challenges knows what they need to do to regulate, and they do that to meet their sensory needs.
It just might be more intense, right?
Yes.
Is that kind of what you're going for on that?
I'm just talking about kind of us right now, fidgeting and moving around and going for a walk versus a person with sensory processing disorder who does not know how to regulate their body and needs an intervention.
With that in mind, what is a sensory diet? Like we said, it's not food. I mean, I wish it was.
Gosh.
No, this is a sensory diet is a specific series of physical and sensory activities that are specific to the child to help them receive the sensory input that their body needs.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is to get them into that just right state. So remember the zones of regulation?
Oh, yeah.
That would be the green zone.
Yep.
Because our kiddos are oftentimes stuck in the blue zone where their arousal level's too low and they can't get out of it, or their arousal level's too high and they're in the yellow or the red zone and they can't come back down.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So our sensory kiddos need more input than they are typically getting. So this is why we see those behaviors. That sensory diet is designed to give them specific input that they need at that time and throughout different times of their day for different activities, like while they're at school or while they're doing their homework or at mealtime, bedtime, all those different things.
And the idea is to incorporate all of these different activities into the daily routine so that it's just, it becomes a habit. It's what they do to help their body feel good. And it's throughout the day, right? You can't just do 10 jumping jacks first thing in the morning and expect to be good for the rest of the day, right? It has to be, has to be throughout the day at different intervals, because all of us, you know, all of our arousal levels change throughout the day. We're more awake at some parts, we're more tired at other parts. And so we have to give our bodies that input throughout the day, not just at one time.
So going along with frequency, by the age of 10, most kids do well with a 10-minute break every 2 hours throughout their day. And then younger kiddos, or those with more cognitive impairments, they need the input more frequently. And of course, our sensory seekers typically need longer breaks than those over or under responders.
Which makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they need it. Their bodies crave it. So then also the intensity of these activities depends on the child and how much input they need. So like Rachel just said, sensory seekers need more. So they're going to need it more often, and they're going to just need way more input in that time frame.
So if you think about the sensory seekers, they're seeking so much input, you want to meet them at that level.
Where they need to be,
You don't want to try to bring them to like a calm activity right away. You need to meet that threshold where they're at and then work on getting their body calm and organized. But the intense input will help get them to that point.
Yep.
So you want to keep in mind that you want the input to be goal-directed, you want it to be intermittent
throughout the day,
and you want there to be lots of stops and starts, a lot of head position changes, a lot of circuits are great. We love to do little circuit obstacle courses, little mini obstacle courses for sensory diets.
Yeah, so that would be just like something simple, like 3 to 4 quick activities before they sit down at the table to do homework. And then they would take a break later on in the day and do 3 to 4 quick activities before they have to go back.
Yeah. And you don't want to wait until they're at the meltdown phase.
Yes. You have to get them before they hit that block.
Yeah. The goal is to keep them regulated throughout the day so you don't have as big of meltdowns.
Yeah, because I mean, it's not perfect, right? It's not a perfect system.
And this isn't a cure.
We all have our own meltdowns, okay? Yep. So yeah, like she said, the goal is to decrease the meltdowns, decrease the intensity of the meltdowns, and just help the kids be more successful and happy. Your OT is going to be super helpful here, you guys. This is where your OT knows your child. They know what kind of input your child needs. And so they are going to design the sensory diet for your child specifically for them. Because no two kids are the same. So one sensory diet is going to be different than the next.
And remember that a lot of kids have mixed sensory needs.
Yes.
So your OT will observe them. They'll work with them. They'll interact with them. And they'll say, okay, maybe you're over-responsive to tactile, but you're under-responsive to vestibular input, so we're going to tailor your sensory diet specific to your needs.
Yes, definitely. And, you know, kiddos with higher arousal levels are going to need more proprioceptive-based activities. Kids with lower arousal levels are going to need more vestibular-based activities.
Yep, so think of the proprioceptive to kind of calm down, organize that nervous system, and the vestibular wakes up your body and increases that arousal level. So the first thing you want to do is select up to 3 of your target behaviors. So let's do a quick example. Target behaviors during homework. Okay, let's think of those. Your kiddo will not sit in their seat. They get up, they fall down, they will not stay in their seat. And maybe they lean their head on the table while they're writing. And then maybe they are chewing on their pencil. Okay, so those are 3 target behaviors that we want to address. So the next thing you want to do is determine what sensory issues are most likely impacting those behaviors. So with those examples, what was the first one? Oh, they won't sit in their seat. Okay. So the first one, they won't sit in their seat. So that's likely a proprioceptive or vestibular component. And then the next one, they're laying their head on their table. That could be endurance. That could be visual. Mm-hmm. Again, that proprioceptive input. And the last one, they're chewing on their pencil. It sounds like they're seeking that oral motor input. So then you're going to begin using those sensory breaks and sensory routines to minimize those problematic behaviors. So you're going to give them what they need or what they're seeking
before
the activities. Yes. So let's move on to some commonly used sensory diet activities.
So physical activities are the easy ones to start with because these are movement activities and they're the ones that are going to give that proprioceptive input. It's going to activate all the muscles and it's going to be more fun, typically. So any type of animal walk, bear walks, crab walks, frog jumps, wheelbarrow walks, donkey kicks.
Have your kiddo come up with a new type of animal walk.
Oh my
gosh,
there's so many animal walks to do. And animal works are so great for...
Animal works.
Animal walks are so great for strength and endurance, which... If you're working on being able to sit down for homework, your child needs to have good strength in their core and their upper body and their neck to be able to sit at the table. So
yes,
animal walks are, I would say, are always included in a sensory diet.
Yep. Jumping on trampoline.
Oh, favorite.
So keep in mind that you could make it goal directed by they count to 10 while they're jumping.
And then stop.
And then stop, or they have to catch a... medicine ball while they're jumping.
Or a regular ball, depending on the child.
That's true. Okay.
I'm just like, oh my gosh.
That
all
could
the
go downhill
ones.
Real quick. So jumping on a trampoline, riding a bike or riding a scooter, going outside, getting some fresh air.
Definitely. Every time going outside.
How fast can you ride up the hill to the mailbox and back? I'm going to time you.
Have your kid go get mail from the mailbox if your mailbox isn't right by your house. Like, I know that that's not ideal, like, not always the case. So maybe not. Maybe that doesn't work.
Good idea. This is a good thought.
Anything outside, though. Swings. Mm-hmm. If your swing is outside, get outside. When your kid gets out of school, chances are they're going to need some activities to do before they sit down for homework. Maybe they need to eat a snack, so that'll be part of your sensory diet. But getting outside, getting fresh air, getting movement should always be incorporated into the sensory diet.
I definitely agree. Another one is just rough and tumble play. So getting on the floor, wrestling, playing horse.
Somersaults.
Yeah, anything that you can do. Log rolls. Just getting on the floor and playing.
This is just so good because it's so grounding to be on the ground, right? Take your shoes off and have your kid walk around barefoot outside. Mm-hmm. Or, just lay in the grass and look up at the sky and play the cloud shape game.
There you go.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, getting on the ground is just so good for our bodies.
Making snow angels if it's snowing where you're at.
Or pretend snow angels if there is no snow.
Throw some beans on the floor and make snow angels out of beans on the floor.
And then you get to pick them up.
And then sweep them up and pick them up with your fingers.
And then there's your ADL IDLs for the day.
There you go. Another one, deep pressure, anything squishing, sandwiching, using pillows, rolling up with a blanket to make a burrito. Therapy balls.
Take all the couch cushions off, get all the pillows and blankets, make a big mountain, and have your child jump into it.
Yes.
And bury themselves underneath it, and then put it all away and clean up when they're done.
Yeah. Or have them squishy you underneath it.
Oh, yeah.
You guys, parents, you need this input too. You're going to feel a lot calmer after your kiddo squeezes you with some couch cushions. Trust me. You're not going to want to yell.
Doing anything with heavy items or weighted items. So carrying a heavy backpack.
Using a weighted vest.
Hint, hint. Using like a weighted lap pad at the table.
I like putting those microwavable weight bags
with like the sand or the rice or whatever.
Yeah, because it can be warm, it can be cold.
Yeah,
those throw their weighted blanket in the dryer so it's kind of warm.
Definitely.
Or cold.
Some ankle weights while they're riding their bike or jumping on the trampoline.
Yes. How creative can you be with your weighted items? There you go.
All right. Tactile play. Always talking about messy play and tactile play.
We love Play-Doh, slime, kinetic sand.
Oh, yes.
Shaving cream. Bird seed is fun.
Rice. Any rice or seeds.
Just look in your kitchen.
Ooh, you know what's a really good one? It's like salt or the Jell-O packets because then it's colored.
Yes.
Those ones are super fun. You get like a little tray.
Good
idea. That one's really fun.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
Any sort of visual game. So dot to dots, mazes.
Using flashlights to look at books.
Chew toys all the time, right? So Rachel talked about the kiddo who chews on their pencil. So putting a rubber chew tube on the end of the pencil for them to chew on that instead. Gum.
Sour spray, sour candy.
Yep.
Blowing or sucking through a straw.
Yeah, so if your child has a water bottle that they drink from, if you can get one with a good straw for them to have to suck.
Or just, like, go to Starbucks and get one of those tiny skinny straws.
Oh, there you go.
I'm sure you can buy them, too.
Well, sure.
White noise machines, music, noise-canceling headphones.
Hey, did we talk about the listening program?
Oh, the listening program. What?
Hint, hint.
Love that.
I hope you guys don't think that we're being horribly rude when we say hint, hint.
Oh, gosh. Remember in our last episode, we said we don't care if you like us or not. I'm just kidding.
We do care.
Oftentimes, people can't tell when I'm joking, so I need to be better about that.
No one knows when I'm joking.
That's true.
Because I have RBF. So...
Oh, my gosh.
Sorry, guys.
Sorry. It's fine.
Okay, we got one more. One more. Using visual cues for your child. Visual or tactile cues, right? So if your child's getting distracted at the table, just a simple tap on the shoulder or a little bit of deep pressure to the shoulders to help regain their attention.
I always say give them the control with their sensory diet.
Yes.
Let them choose from the items that they need to get organized. Do you want to jump on the trampoline or do you want to carry a medicine ball? You want to jump on the trampoline? Great. Use that. Do you want to blow a whistle or do you want to chew gum? You know, give them that control and they're going to be way more motivated to participate.
Plus, if your child is a little bit older, you can talk to them about why you're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
You can talk to them about the zones of regulation, where their body is, where their body needs to be for certain activities, when it's okay to be in the yellow zone, but when they need to come back down to the green zone. And then trial and error for the activities. Do 5 activities and have them label them somehow for which zone it put their body in.
Yeah, love it. All right, you guys.
That's all we have.
Sensory diets 101. Crash course into sensory diets.
Let us know what questions you have.
We will link some of our favorite tools and resources in the show notes. And you can also find them on our website.
That's what I was just about to say.
Oh, man.
Leave us a review. I hope you guys don't hate us after our little
rant
in the last couple episodes.
Sometimes we get a little feisty.
We're just getting there. We're getting in the groove, you guys. We're like 30 some odd episodes in.
Yeah. Almost 40.
Yes.
Almost. We're going to celebrate. We should do something crazy for our 1 year anniversary.
Ooh, our 1 year is coming up.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, if you guys have ideas of what we should do for our 1 year anniversary, send us a message.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Bye.
See you next week. We are so excited to work together and to help create confident kids all over the world and work towards a happier, healthier life. This is general information related to occupational therapy, pediatrics, sensory integration, and overall health and wellness. We do not know you or your child, therefore, we do not know any specific needs, therefore, you should always refer back to your pediatrician and occupational therapist.